हरिः
सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 38. Outside of Braja, Krishna is rarely attained. His feet are worshipped according to the rules of Archana by Shiva and Lakshmi in their minds, but they cannot serve him directly like the people of Braja. But now he is wandering in Mathura also. He plays in a special manner there, Vikridaya. In Braja he plays, whereas he has been sent to Mathura to fight with the enemies. He is surrounded by indifferent people. Here in Mathura, he does not really play, since here his actions do not arise from his spontaneous desire to play. There he plays in a remarkable way because of his desire of his most cherished pastimes, since that place has favorability and dearness to him. That's why it says that something is being done that's conscious of Krishna and favorable to Krishna. So that's the position that is necessary. Right, because it's not just what we want to gain, but what Krishna will want. Right, the play in the two places cannot be compared. The favorable aspects and excellence of Braja are then described. He has various remarkable garlands made by friends endowed with zeal for special fun from flowers of most dear Vrindavan. The special garlands also represent his clothing and ornaments. Herding the cows, right? Because the garlands are such that how you wear them and everything, then they can also be considered like ornaments. Like in Braj, then much of the time, ornaments are done with flowers, not just gold and, you know, jewels. He has that, but it's actually considered more nice or more opulent, the ones made with flowers, right? And they make them very fine, they make them very nice. But those kind of decorations are more appreciated there, right? While opulence, then it's always going to be more about the regular ornaments, right? Herding the cows, objects of the greatest affection, assists his various other pastimes and bewilders the universe when he calls out sweetly to the cows. He is assisted by Balarama in herding the cows. His cherished pastimes are nourished by the pastimes of Balaram. What else can be said? He constantly produces sweetness with his flute, which bewilders Indra, Shiva, and Brahma, and makes the trees develop goosebumps. So when it says in Brahma Samhita that the flute is the constant attendant, because he's regularly playing the flute in Vrindavan. In other places, then we don't really see that that's a feature. The women continued, "What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness, and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare." I mean, it's perfect in itself. It doesn't require something else to compare to it to make it perfect. Does that make sense? By having the variety, it only increases, but it's already perfect in itself. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, "Those who have accrued heaps of pious activities are born in the land of Braja. Among them, the gopis are the best." That is expressed in this verse. What austerities did the gopis do? If anyone is omniscient, then please tell us what austerities they performed. we will perform the same austerities to be born as gopis in Braja. They drink the nectar of his beauty, while we at the arena drink the poison of his injury. We sit here filled with fever from the tips of our nails to the tips of our hair. By mentioning that as a result of austerities, they could see the beauty of Krishna's form. They also indicate that it resulted in being embraced by his arms, which could not be expressed in words on that occasion. One should not say that he was most excellent because of his superior beauty. Rather, the essence of all beauty was his sarup, Lavanya Sharam. It's not that he's so beautiful that makes the excellence. He is excellence. Right? It's not that Krishna exists eternally. Krishna is existence. Right? It's not that Krishna experiences Ananda. He is Ananda. That's the... Yeah.
What's the difference?
I
mean, he's Ananda, but he's also experienced.
Yes, but he's experiencing, because in expanding it, then his energies, then he tastes that interaction, so it increases his Ananda. Okay. But it's not that he requires that to be. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone is very beautiful, that's why then they're attractive or people are interested, but if they become less beautiful, then there's less attraction. Right, but with Krishna, he is attraction, so he's always beautiful. It's not that it'll go away, or it's just something he's acquired, or that he is that. So there's a slight difference. You know what I'm saying? You know, is that how you say? It's like the, you know, in Vrindavan, okay, he's the most amazing element. No, he is Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It mentions that Krishna is Akhila Rasa Murti. So it means the same thing, right?
Akhila Rasa Murti. Yeah. Akhila meaning?
Akhila Rasa Murti. A deity, his deity who is completeness in Rasa.
Completeness in
fullness.
Rasa.
Fullness in Rasa.
But does that mean that he is the Rasa? You know, that's another aspect. That's what's being brought out here. It means he's complete in rasa, but the point is he is rasa. That's how he's complete. Right? All the rasa is him. So whatever it is that you have an interest, whatever, all living entities are connected to him as energies. So they don't have a separate existence. Right? So then that existence, then they have an attraction to the source of their existence. And the particularity of their attraction, that's the variety of relationships and tastes. But the point is all the tastes that they're having are all him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just taking it to a step further. It means all these other points that are being made are correct. But if they're taking a step further, that he is that thing. Does that make sense? In other words, he's independent. He doesn't require that. He is that. That's the whole thing. As the earth seems inferior to Swargaloka, when we see his form, it just appears to be the best. But if we go to Mahavaikuntha, we will understand that the form of Narayana is much more sweet. This form of Krishna is unequaled. Asamurdham. There is no form beyond this. Oh, okay, so these are all the different discussions that are going on. From whom did Krishna receive this form? Right? From no one. This form is intrinsic to him. Ananya Siddha. So that's the point. He didn't get it from somewhere. He didn't do so. He didn't go down to the gym and now he looks good. Right? Like that. It's that he is that essence. That may be so, but if these women constantly see this one form, it will no longer be so amazing after some time. Right? Because that's the general thing, is that you deal with something that's nice, after time it's not that special. That's why in the material world you have to do things that are inferior so that something superior appears superior. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just you have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like dressing up is very nice, but it only is very nice if there's also time spent in your sweatpants. Right? Then it has a meaning. Yeah? No? His form becomes newer at every moment. It is forever increasingly amazing. Then other people can come to Braja and see this form at leisure, but this form is also not available even to Lakshmi. So it's always increasing, it's always getting better. It's always ever expanding, because his glories are ever expanding, therefore his beauty is always great. But it's not that one can just come anytime you want to Vrindavan and see this. No, even Lakshmi can't come there. Because the point is this form is not by just physically being there. This form is having a particular mood in which you are seeing him. Because he is everything, has been described before. That's the whole point of the chapter, is that everyone sees him different. So that means is, just because you go to Vrindavan doesn't mean you see Braja Krishna as is being described by or being experienced by the gopis. Right? Because Lakshmi, she'll see him as her husband. So where's the parakya aspect? So therefore it'll have that formality, it'll have that aishwarya. How it'll have the sweetness, how it'll have the parakya. So when they hear of the pastimes connected with the gopis, then that's where you can experience. But it's only through these devotees. It's not separate. It's not the, oh, that's what Prabhupada says. You can't just buy it. No, he's quoting from Narottam Das Thakur. You can't just buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Like that. Because you can go there, but you won't see what they're seeing. So it's only by following the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan that you see Braja Krishna. That's the only way. There is no other method. That's why it says, as you advance in devotional service, you start to follow in the footsteps. Now we take it that, okay, we get out of particular form and sit around when no one's there and put our, you know, how you say, you know, hands under our armpits and flap our wings because we're a peacock and, you know, move our head and stuff like that. And if someone comes in, then, you know, they ask, hey, what are you doing? And then you respond, if only you knew. Like that. And then they go, oh, what's wrong with this guy? And then leave, right? Like that. Yes.
We know that, you know, Lakshmi Ji and Narada and Shiva, they try to develop that mood of Vrindavan, especially Gopi Bhava. But somehow it didn't happen for them. So what gives us the hope that it's going to happen to us?
Because we don't already have a relationship with Krishna that's not in Braja. That makes sense. We have a relationship with, you know, whatever's going on here, and that's easy enough to give up. But they already have a relationship with Krishna in Vaikuntha. And from that relationship, then they're already having that taste. They're already situated there. That is their Sai Bhav. So then to give that up for something, they can't do that. They want that higher taste, that special, but from that position. Does that make sense? You know, it's like ordering out for pizza. You want the pizza, but you don't want to go out. Yeah. So you're not going to experience what it means sitting in the place and the you know, wood oven and, you know, the whole thing that makes for the restaurant. You know, you're going to be sitting there on your couch and, you know, with a box of pizza. You know what I'm saying? So you're not willing, they can't change. Lakshmi can't give up thinking about Krishna as her husband. She's thinking this form of Krishna, who's her husband, is so wonderful. I want to be able to interact and take part in those pastimes, that she won't give up that this is my husband. So therefore, how can she enter? She can't therefore enter Braj. Because in Braj, Krishna doesn't have a wife. Remember the wives of the Brahmins, they came and said, you accept us. And he says, I'm not marrying anybody in Braj. You know, so therefore it can't happen. That's why she can't enter. You know. Lord Shiva then can guard the place. Narad Muni can appreciate. But he can't take part in the pastimes. Right? Not in these forms. Does that make sense? Because the point is Lakshmi is just an expansion of Radharani, so she's already interacting, but Radharani's expanded because Krishna's taken the form of the Lord of Vaikuntha, and so she's expanded too as his companion. So that's already established. But what we're saying is it's so attractive that all these expansions, they're even attracted to that original form. So they can hear and chant and remember about the pastimes, but they won't be able to take part. You know, so for us, giving up Domino's Pizza Leela, you know, that's not the hard part. Does that make sense? Are we good? Or
yeah, we're good, because there's that mention, Lakshmi Sahasra Sapasamama, so if apparently it works that direction, but the backwards it doesn't work from the Lakshmi side.
No.
Because they're all Lakshmi.
They're all Lakshmi.
She isn't Gopi. She can't be a Gopi.
No. Because she's a different mood of Lakshmi. So only those Lakshmis with the Braja mood, they can then serve Krishna in Braja. And she's Lakshmi with Vaikuntha mood, so she can serve the Lord in Vaikuntha. You know, just like when the gopis go to Kurukshetra, they're not satisfied with Krishna as a king and all the opulence and everything like that. They just want to take him back to Vrindavan. Right? That's why you have the Rath Yatra festival, these kind of, you know, these aspects too. That's signifying that desire, that interest. Does that make sense? So it's just a different flavor. Is that make sense? You know, it's just like, what, you eat spaghetti with a fork, right? But you eat chow mein with chopsticks. What if I gave you spaghetti and chopsticks? You could manage, but it doesn't have the same flavor, or a fork in the Chinese food. You can manage, you know, but I'm saying you lose the flavor. Even though they're both actually noodles. Right. So in other words, Marco Polo brought the noodles back, but he didn't understand how to use chopsticks, so they ate it with their fingers.
From this particular statement, it seems that Bhagavan is easily accessible and not Paramatma. Because
Bhagavan is easily accessible, but Paramatma is not.
Because in the previous verse, it mentions that how Indra, Shiva and Brahma, you know, they are all able to witness Krishna. But if we see, you know, the different pastimes where,
Brahma and Vishnu, is that what you got from that? I thought it was saying Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva and Lakshmi, they can't enter Vrindavan. I thought that's what it was saying.
No, it's not about entering, about seeing the form of the Lord.
Seeing, but what form do they see? Generally, when you put the things out for here, put from where the yellow thingy is. You know, that way then we can go back or anything like that. Is the particular of this chapter about how different people see Krishna differently? Yes or no?
Yes.
So that means it's not that they can just, it's like a smorgasbord and they can see whichever way they like. It means they're only qualified to see Krishna in a particular way. They can't see otherwise than that. So how do you get that is so much easier?
Because when the demons attack the demigods, then they all go to the milk ocean and they're not able to see the form of Shirodakshai Vishnu. You know, they only...
Yeah, but then what happens when he, you know, they do the yajna and then he comes to that, or as Vamanadeva, or
yeah, then they see.
So what is it from? Then is it because the Lord reveals, or it's because just, you know, how you say, Krishna and Braj is just so easy to see. you know, like you said here, at your leisure you can just go, right? But isn't it saying here, but this form is also not available even to Lakshmi. You understand? It means take this point that we're making here. We're not going about that the Lord only reveals himself, you know, as, you know, at his pleasure. That's there. But the point is that even you can see the Lord, what aspect of the Lord, it will still be, he'll reciprocate according to how you surrender. So therefore, you can't just go to Vrindavan and see Krishna. Unless you're following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, you won't see Braja Krishna, you will see another form. Right? At the residents of Mathura, who they're seeing him as Paramatma. But he's, you know, there and moving. Because Paramatma is the person, but it's just he's localized. So he just deals with you just how much you're dealing. So when you deal with, you know, fully, then he's there. Yeah? You have to catch, the point being made is according to your Adhikar, you see the Lord. Not that he's who's harder to see. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a hide and seek game here. Because the yogis then see him in the heart. Right? Yeah. Okay. Let that be. His beauty is his super excellent quality. But Narayan and others are more endowed having six opulences. Then the next point is Krishna is the shelter of all these opulences. Ekanta Dhamma. Right? So that's always going to be the thing. No, but here in Narayan, he shows more opulence. So therefore, that's greater than Krishna, because Krishna is just showing his beauty. But the point is, Krishna is the source of all these, but they're all so nicely balanced in that it comes out as sweetness. Like that. So you're always going to have this kind of discussion. But the point is we're having this discussion following the footsteps of the Acharyas that it's about Braja winning here, not Vaikuntha. The women continue. The ladies of Braja are the most fortunate of women because, with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleansing their houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things. When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Braja in the morning with his cows, or returns with them at sunset, the young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them.
At this point, if they were talking to the devotees now, we would advise them to follow in the footsteps of the gopis and do whatever they do and dovetail it in their own lives.
But the point is they're already situated in their relationship.
Oh, so it's from the point of appreciation?
Yes, they're appreciating this. But it's just like, okay, let us say someone's good at something. Can we appreciate people that are better than us?
Yes.
Like that. We may, you know, try to be, like they're saying here, more Krishna conscious and all our activities see Krishna. But we're not trying to take their place. We're just saying that they're so much better. So that's the whole thing, is one can appreciate. I mean, the modern thing is, no, is that due to jealousy or envy, then we have to take that place. But that's not how it's working. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the gopis give a perfect example of how one can execute Krishna consciousness even while performing various types of material engagements. By constantly being absorbed in the thought of Krishna, one cannot be affected by the contamination of material activities. Right? So, if an activity is not being done in connection with Krishna, is it spiritual or material?
Material.
But if you're doing it in connection with Krishna, it's spiritual. Right? So therefore, In Vrindavan, everything's being done in connection with Krishna. So it's all spiritual. But the point is, the activity itself, you can say, is material, because the activity just on its own, without Krishna, is material. Right? So that's why you see here in these pastimes where they're actually in the spiritual world, they'll talk about their activities, the external activities, as material. Right? Because we're talking Gokul, we're not talking Goloka here. Because in Goloka, then they'll compare anyway to there and talk like it's they're there anyway. But you know, that will really start to spin our head around. But here is that they have these forms, because you see, as they'll talk about the material forms, they'll talk about the spiritual forms. So the form itself means for the husband of the gopi, then what has he married, the spiritual form and the material form? Material form, because how does he see this gopi? Right? As, you know, as Krishna's, you know, parakeya lover that goes out every night and all that. No, he sees as his wife. So it's not in connection with Krishna. So therefore it's material. You understand? But because they are absorbed fully in Krishna and all that, then in their spiritual body they go to Krishna. Because interacting with Krishna is their body spiritual and material.
Spiritual.
So that means their material bodies with their husbands, their spiritual bodies with Krishna. So, without a chintabeda beta tattva, you're not going to get this one, right?
Yeah. So that means one could do material activities with spiritual body.
Means we call them material so that you know what they are. We've already defined very clearly, Prabhupada said before, that not. But what they're showing is that even we can engage all the material activities in Krishna's service, and by doing that, they become spiritualized. Because we'll say all these activities, you know, but the point is these activities then only have real value when they're connected to Krishna. If they're not connected to Krishna, then they're not so important. So that's, but yes, means, no, you could, yes. You could, from that side, say you could do that. But that means that's the difference between Sarup and Sarup Siddhi. Sarup Siddhi means it's being engaged properly now, fully in Krishna's service. Right? One may not have come to that platform of prema yet, but it's fully engaged. But you can have Sarup, and it's not. So that's why you can say is that it's they give up their material form. It means they give up seeing it in any way separate from Krishna. Right, so material is not technically based on what it's made out of; it's the consciousness. And spiritual, you know, how you say, and transcendental is a point of consciousness, right? Because we see the acharyas here with bodies we would say are made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether are transcendental, right? But we see that in Vrindavan, that they in Gokul, they may be absorbed in their various activities and all that, and not thinking of Krishna. So then we will say that's a material form, even though it may be made out of spiritual energy. So that means we don't get into it too much, because we tend to get too confused. But the point is that it's about, if it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. If it's not connected, it's not perfect. It doesn't matter about these technical points. So it doesn't matter what body you have, if you're connected to Krishna, it's perfect. And if you're able to connect this body to Krishna, then why you wouldn't be able to connect the spiritual body to Krishna? Therefore, then one gets a spiritual body. Because we had a spiritual body, we didn't connect it to Krishna, so then we didn't get to keep it. Or it gets covered, right? So factually, it's a matter of uncovering it. So when you remove the coverings, then you have the spiritual form. Right? But to completely remove the coverings, that's called death. So, therefore, you know, that's why for the devotees here, performing the activities here, the Prarabdha karma doesn't completely go away. Otherwise, then you'll have no body. Right? Does that make sense?
We spoke about the two types of bodies.
The two types of bodies.
Yeah, Gunatmaka and Nirmala, like the material and the spiritual body, and the example that you gave right now from the book is that the husbands were with the material body and they went with Krishna with the spiritual body.
Yeah.
So in the case of the gopis, we have that they're both the bodies are simultaneously being used, you know, for two different purposes. And
no, but it means you can say it's two bodies, but it can also be one body. Let's say I go down to the market, okay? And the guy there has the basket with a big, huge pile of potatoes in it. Are they spiritual or material? You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then? You understand that? It all works.
I understand that. How I use it, like if I use it for Krishna service?
Yes, that's the whole point. So you don't worry what technically it's made out of. That's why in modern science they worry technically what it's made out of. But the purpose, what it's for, how it connects to Krishna and this and that, they don't know. Right? So then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's more important to know how to use something than it's just like, can you cook lunch without actually knowing the molecular breakdown of a potato?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the whole point. But one will say, "Oh, but that's not science. Science, that's sentiment." Because only if you know the molecular breakdown and all that, and then showing how the potato as it's cooking, how this is being transformed and other things that are then connecting onto it, you know, that human and all that are connecting and stuff like that, then that's cooking, but that's not cooking at all. So that's the whole thing, is that we look at this, the external thing so much, because we think it's the external that produces the result. No, they just transform. Why do they transform? Because of the laws given by Krishna. So actually Krishna is the cause of the transformation. So therefore, if we don't see the transformation in connection with Krishna, then what's the whole point of it? How does it become spiritual? So all it's saying here is that we can perform our activities just like they do in a Krishna conscious way. So taking that example, therefore we can be absorbed, because they're doing their household duties. Who are they doing their household duties for? Right? The family. How is the family looking at it? From a Krishna conscious point of view? No. So therefore it's material. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why in Goloka they don't have husbands. They think they have husbands because in Gokul they have them. And the two places are non-different. So the having of husbands is here, so that you don't have to have it there. Does that make sense?
We said that the women in Mathura, they do have their own Sai Baba, and they appreciate in the gopis.
Mm.
But it's also incongruable. And the difference would be in intensity only?
Yes, so because the one will be some Samanya, then Dwarka will be Samanya?
Kupcha is Samanya.
But she's Mathura, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's Mathura.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to put them? They give three categories. The gopis in Vrindavan, 100% surrender.
Yeah.
The queens in Dwarka, mm-hmm. means it's 50-50. And then the Mahishis,
mm-hmm.
in plural, of
mm-hmm.
Mathura. And Kubja is generally given as the, you know, primary one, because she's the one Krishna specifically dealt with. She's the most beautiful out of all of them because of that touch of Krishna. So you have a fourth category. Okay. So in other words, things that are subtle like this that aren't a major aspect, since we're trying to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, we don't have to pick them apart so much. We understand that they have that love for Krishna, that attraction for Krishna, so that's perfect. We don't have, so they're better than us. But the point is what we're trying to do is develop that what they have in Braj. right? Because this is their taste. That's why they're there. They actually, their main taste was that of Braja Bhakti, they'd be in Braj, no? Because there's millions and millions of gopis there, so it's not, a few more gopis is not a problem, right? Like that, you know. We wanted to be there, but they said it was full, it was all booked and all that. So until the next day of Brahma, we couldn't get in, so we had to settle for, you know, Mathura. You understand? There's no problem with that. They're there because that's their taste. Yeah.
The difficulty seems to be is that it sounds as if spiritual obstacles are more than material obstacles that we have. Because we don't have a spiritual body, we don't have the attachment or anything, but we do have material. But let's say for Lakshmi, she has her specific position. So it's very unusual that actually prohibits her.
But the thing is we're looking from at the negative aspect. The point is that she's fully satisfied in her relationship with the Lord. And there's no obstacle in that service there. It's just that she can't take up a different one because she has a different mood. Right? Krishna says in Gita, better to do your own duty imperfectly than someone else's perfectly. Why? Because the mood. You know, it's just like people say, well, I could manage it. Yeah, but you don't have the right attitude. So if you do manage it, you'll do a great job, but no one will like it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that their mood matches Vaikuntha. Therefore, then, that's why they can't enter Vrindavan. It's not that Shiva can't go there and visit Vrindavan. But he'll go there as Shiva, and he'll be dealt with as Shiva. And they'll all come and respect and worship and this and that. There won't be that intimacy that is there by the residents of Vrindavan. Right? Because that's why the hills, Nandishwar, so Lord Shiva's there. But he's there in that mood of Shiva. He can't take part as the gopis do with Krishna because he's already has his mood. He is Shiva. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's an obstacle. It's just that it's not the flavor. They're seeing from different angles of flavor. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And if we do our own duty and nobody likes it, then?
If they're our own, what can you do?
No, because we said that better to do our own.
Yeah. But then you have to judge this. Is there anything that the people that you're talking about like?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so then that's another thing. Yes. By constantly being absorbed in thought of Krishna, one cannot be affected by the contamination of material activities. The gopis, therefore, are perfectly entranced. Samadhi, the highest perfectional stage of mystic power. In the Bhagavad Gita is confirmed that one who is constantly thinking of Krishna is a first-class yogi among all kinds of yogis. My dear friend, one lady told another, we must accept the activities of the gopis to be the highest form of piety. Otherwise, how could they have achieved the opportunity of seeing Krishna both morning and evening? In the morning when he goes to the pasturing ground with his cows, and cowherd boyfriends, and in the evening when he returns with them, playing on his flute and smiling very brilliantly. So they're accepting that this is the highest form of piety, which is correct. But they have their position, but they appreciate more, but it doesn't mean you don't like, you know, you're not... Does that make sense? You have yours, you do what you do, and you appreciate these others. It adds to what you're doing. It doesn't subtract. It's not an obstacle. You know, like the kids in their basement playing tennis, and they're, you know, and they have appreciation for the, you know, the Chinese or Korean guys that are, you know, the world's best. You know, it's not that it means then now they can't play. Oh, we can't be that good, and so they just lay on the floor underneath the table and feel bad and sigh heavily. And, you know, they just play, and then they appreciate they do, and if they can catch some of the aspects that they do, they'll add it to what they do. But you know, there's a good chance they're not going to be, you know, playing In other words, the basement's not big enough that you can stand that far away from the table and still play tennis, the table tennis like they do. You know. Verses 17 to 30. Krishna and Balaram killed the wrestlers, right? Now after this little pleasant interlude like that, then, you know, the wrestlers came out, they, you know, made into something, and then from that, then the women of Mathura, then they get disturbed. So now then, he's going to get into the, you know, then it's come up to this, so now then they'll adjust everything so it all becomes balanced. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when Lord Krishna, the super soul of every living being, understood that the ladies in the assembly were anxious for him, he decided not to continue wrestling, but to kill the wrestlers immediately, right? So he's wrestling because he's having some fun in establishing the position, you know, doing whatever it is, tasting the taste of that fun. But when he sees that the ladies of Mathura are anxious about it, then he decides, okay, because that's a higher position. That's a more important taste. So therefore, then he'll do that. The parents of Krishna and Balaram, namely Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Vasudeva, and Devaki, were also very anxious because they did not know the unlimited strength of their children. Right, they know that they've done so many things, but, you know, each thing, because of the nature of their relationship, then they'll always feel that anxiety for them and feel that if there's any pain that they're feeling, that that'll put them in anxiety. So they've seen him deal with so many different things, but it's generally, much of the time, it's after the fact. Right? And they appreciate, though sometimes they see. But to all aspects, because they're always going to go to their natural position of relationship. Srila Sukadeva goes, so to reciprocate that, then Krishna then, you know, how you say, disposes of the rest of us. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the woman spoke thus, O hero of the Bharatas, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent. Out of affection for the two lords, their parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, became overwhelmed with sorrow when they heard the woman's fearful statements. They grieved, not knowing their son's strength. Lord Balaram and Mustika, expertly playing numerous wrestling techniques, battled each other in the same way that Lord Krishna and his opponent did. Right? So they're just using their techniques expertly, because otherwise who would Balaram wrestle with unless they were the best? Because otherwise then what's the fun if they're not like so good? So then they're having fun doing all these things, because where does the science of the wrestling techniques come from? Right? It's going to come from them. So therefore then someone's doing them, they can have fun. Right, we also have to remember, why would they hear these statements? Remember that Devaki, she didn't sit on, you know, on the side where Kamsa, she went and just sat over with the general ladies, because she didn't want to be near to Kamsa. Right? The harsh blows from the Supreme Lord's limbs fell like crushing lightning bolts upon Chanura, breaking every part of his body and causing him more and more pain and fatigue. Furious, Chanura attacked Lord Vasudeva with the speed of a hawk and struck his chest with both fists. No more shaken by the demon's mighty blows than an elephant struck with a flower garland. Right? Lord Krishna grabbed Chanura by his arms, swung him around several times, and hurled him onto the ground with great force. His clothes, hair, and garland scattering, the wrestler fell down dead, like a huge festival column collapsing. Footnote 22. Indradvaja is famous in the eastern states of India. Srila Sridhar Swami explains the words Indradvaja as follows. In Bengal, on the occasion of a certain festival, people erect a tall column in the form of a man and decorate it with flags, banners, etc. He, Chanura, fell just like such a pole might fall. Any of you have seen this? Or? Going on recently.
Not like a man, but
generally. Yeah, it says like. That means that the Indradvaja. Nice, it doesn't have exactly like the
name. In the center of the main street.
Okay. And then at some point they bring the bring it down. So he's like that. Similarly, Mustika struck Lord Balaram with his fist and was slain, receiving a violent blow from the mighty Lord's palm. The demon trembled all over in great pain, vomited blood, and then fell lifeless onto the ground, like a tree blown down by the wind. 23. Chanura was compared to a flagstaff falling, since he fell from high up. Mustika fell while standing on the earth and is thus compared to a tree falling over in the wind. Because Krishna is first spun him around first and then threw him down. Confronted next by the wrestler Kuta, Lord Balaram, the best of fighters, playfully and nonchalantly killed him with his left fist. O king. Then Krishna struck the wrestler Shala in the head with his toes and tore him in half. The Lord dealt with Toshala the same way, and both wrestlers fell down dead. Chanura, Mustika, Kuta, Shala, and Toshala, having been killed, the remaining wrestlers all fled for their lives. Krishna and Balaram then called the young cowherd boyfriends to join them, and in their company the lords danced about and sported, the ankle bells resounding as musical instruments played. Everyone except Kamsa rejoiced at the wonderful feat Krishna and Balaram had performed. The exalted brahmanas and great saints exclaimed, "Excellent, excellent." Verses 31 to 42. Krishna kills Kamsa. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Bhoja king, seeing that his best wrestlers had all been killed or had fled, stopped the musical performance originally meant for his pleasure and spoke the following words. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks. He stopped the music which he had commissioned, Svaturyani, not the Devata music, which he could not stop since he had lost his powers now. Right, so what he had arranged, but what the demigods were doing, that he couldn't stop. Because now he's lost his position, so he can't, they're not fearful of him. So it's not that when he raises his eyebrow, they stop playing their kettle drums. Right. Or he could not stop the music as played by itself. But you do have that also. Sometimes the musical instruments are so ecstatic that they just start playing themselves. But, I'm sure they do a good job. Harivamsa says, with sweating face, Kamsa glared at Krishna and stopped the music with his left hand. Swayam eva prabhad yanta turya goshas cha sarvashaha. All instruments began playing on their own. This means music again sounded, though Krishna Kamsa stopped it. So he stopped the music, and now the instruments just played on their own. He stopped it on the pretext of speaking so that his words could be heard. Right? But they were already dancing and having a good time. Who needs to hear from Kamsa, right? Right? So it's on the pretext, because actually he just wants to stop the merriment. Right? Kamsa was the king of some people of the Bhoja dynasty, a branch of the Yadus, but now everyone held him in disrespect. So one branch, because you have all these different ones, the Bhojas, the Vrishnis, the Andakas, the Satvatas, some others, like that. So then it's one of the branches. So he was the king of that branch, and from that he controlled all the others. But now no one is respecting him. Kamsa said, drive the two wicked sons of Vasudeva out of the city. So they don't say, he doesn't tell them try to kill them. He just says get rid of them, right? Footnote 24. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, drive out the two wicked sons of Vasudeva can also mean give these boys unattainable qualities the best position in the city. Right? Depending on how you use the words. Protect Krishna, the treasure of the cowherd men, tie up Nanda, whose intelligence is perfect, with ropes of affection, establish affectionate relationships with him. So with Nanda and with Krishna, like that. So that's what it can mean. Confiscate the cowherd's property and arrest that fool Nanda. Kill that most evil fool Vasudeva, and also kill my father Ugrasena along with his followers, who have all sided with our enemies. Kill that most evil fool Vasudeva, and also kill my father, Ugrasena, along with his followers who have all sided with our enemies. So it either means he really meant it, or somehow or another it got double here. Like that, you know. According to me, Mom said something's repeated, it's very important. So he wants his father killed twice. Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. In this and previous chapters, there were no verses from Bhaktivinoda or Bhagavad Gita.
Actually, when we go ahead, you know, it's very, very less. So, yeah.
Why is that? You wonder why there's not equality for Mathura and Dwarka.
Yes.
Because it's already been established, all these things, because anything that was been discussed before has already been shown through the other nine cantos. So all the same kind of pastimes, and that's there. Just the Braja pastimes, then you have a level of that level of sweetness or the variety of unlimited tastes. In rasa, you only see in Braj. The others may have, but the point is, if it's already pointed out in Braj, why do you have to point it out on something else? You know, it's just like we've already pointed out on the 2,000 rupee note, there's Mahatma Gandhi there. Then somebody says, no, but you know, he's also there on the 10 rupee note. You know, yeah. Is that make sense? So, because it's already been, the Aishwarya aspects have already been described. Then it's just the aspects of sweetness. So then there's not necessarily more, unless there's some unique thing that hasn't been already discussed before. Or it's very well shown at this point, then he may point it out. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, Vasudeva is wicked, Sudurmedha, because he switched his son for Nanda's child. He is most untruthful, Asatama, since he broke his promise to deliver all his sons to me. The real meaning of Sudurmedha is, his mind is glorious, showing affection even to the wicked. There is no pure person than him, Asatama. So it just depends upon where you put it. You know, it's just like, you can do, yeah. That's just how language works. Because the idea is that double meanings is also an important aspect of relationships and interaction. You know, because it, you know, in chivalry and diplomacy and, you know, joking, you know, so many aspects, then it's an important aspect. So the language has to be able to carry that.
Sometimes people take also disadvantage, you know, of having these things.
They take disadvantage.
They take advantage? They take advantage, but then we are in disadvantage, the devotees, because of misinterpretation of whatever is going
on. Yeah, but that's why we follow the Acharyas, then we don't have to worry. No disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Though Ugrasena is his father, he should still be killed since he is partial to my enemies or follows Vasudeva. The followers of Vasudeva and Ugrasena should also be killed since they are loyal to them. There's another meaning to the statement, however. Pita means he was born from Ugrasena. However, Harivamsa says that Kamsa's real father was a Danava named Drumila, who by trick seduced Ugrasena's wife. But Kamsa did not know, and thus Sukadeva follows his ignorance in saying that Ugrasena was his father. Because he didn't know, so it's just left like that. So if he didn't know, then that's the way everybody wants it to be, so it's just left like that. But if the question comes up, how could he have a son like this, then the point is he wasn't technically his son. But he was raised by him like that, so that means he's his son, because he fed him, he protected him like this. He trained, so therefore he is the father. And so Kamsa is seeing like this, then it's standard. It would be left like that. That's the etiquette. There's no need to bring it up. But in case it's asked why is he a demon, then that's the reason. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, as Kamsa thus raved so audaciously, the infallible Lord Krishna, intensely angry, quickly and easily jumped up onto the high royal dais. Footnote 25. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, hearing the offense to his devotees, Krishna, who is without injury, avyaya, unlike all the jivas, became very angry. Prakupitaha. He jumped so quickly on the king's platform that no one saw him do it. Lagim na. So he's just immediately, he's there. and no one saw. Otherwise, they see him coming, then they'll try to make arrangements. No, he's just there. Seeing Lord Krishna approaching like death personified, the quick-witted Kamsa instantly rose from his seat and took up his sword and shield. Sword in hand, Kamsa moved quickly from side to side like a hawk in the sky. But Lord Krishna, whose fearsome strength is irresistible, powerfully seized the demon just as the son of Tarksha might capture a snake. Grabbing Kamsa by the hair and knocking off his crown, the lotus naval lord threw him off the elevated dais onto the wrestling mat. Right, so he got his sword and he's trying to move and all that, but he just grabs him, knocks off his crown, throws him onto the wrestling arena. Then the independent lord, the support of the entire universe, threw himself upon the king. As a lion drags a dead elephant, the lord then dragged Kamsa's dead body along the ground in full view of everyone present, right? Because you want to establish he's dead, because he's been tormenting everybody, and, you know, you might hit him, but they might think, well, maybe he's not quite dead. You know, it's just like you kill a snake, then you burn it, right? So here, if you drag him around, then you can understand that he's dead, yes.
So he killed him just by throwing him down. That moment he died.
That, no, he says threw himself upon the king. So that can mean just by that, you know, how you say, what is it? The WWF move of jumping down on top of him, that killed him. Or then Prabhupada points out, then he just beat him with his fist. Because that's throwing yourself on top. It's the same thing. So, O king, all the people in the arena tumultuously cried out, oh. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The spectators thought that Kamsa was only unconscious and were not aware that he was dead, right? So that's why he wants to show them he's dead. Krishna dragged him on the ground to make them realize that he was dead, because otherwise they thought maybe he's unconscious, then he'll get up. Now they'll be worried that Krishna has you know, upset him, so now when he becomes conscious again, then they'll really be troubled, because he's given trouble to the whole universe. So, you know, they don't understand fully Krishna's power. He's killed the wrestlers. Okay, now they've accepted he's strong enough for that. But now he's killed Kamsa. He has to establish that. They expressed surprise because though Kamsa was a great warrior, he had been killed with such disdain. Right? It wasn't like Chanura and Mustika that there was some time spent, you know, and they were given their respect for their position. Right? So, but, you know, just like the other ones that came in, was that Toshala, Shala, and Kuta. They just came in and one punch, one kick, you know, that's it, finished. So here, Kamsa's just gone up, just grabbed him, just throw him on the mat, then kill him, and that's it. So it wasn't like it was a whole, how you saying? You know, it was not a Hollywood script.
He killed Kamsa in just a few moments sooner than the other guys. So, because even his uncle, you know, Kamsa is uncle.
Because he is?
Uncle. His uncle. Then, because if he fights for a longer time with his own uncle, then, you know, again.
It'll look bad.
Yeah, it'll look. That would be.
But that's the real reason here.
No, I'm just asking you.
Oh, you're asking? No, because he's upset him because he said he's going to kill his, you know, his parents, all these pious persons he's going to kill just because he's upset. So then he just killed them immediately. Whether the acharyas mentioned that, then we'll know that that's there. But the, you know, so you're asking if it was a professional courtesy that he killed them so quickly. Okay, Srila Sanatana Goswami adds, because Krishna fell on top of him, he died. Sampare tam. To satisfy Vasudeva and others, he dragged him on the earth. This produced a huge trench. So he must have been quite big and heavy. Vishnu Purana says, Gaurav nati mahata parika tena krishyata krita kamsasya dehena vegeneva maham basha. He dug out a huge trench of water by pulling Kamsa's body quickly. This is known as Kamsa's canal or Kamsa's river. This is near Vishranti Tirtha. This implies his body was huge and tough. Because right? if you dig down, if you dig down a bit, you get water. So then he dragged him, and it was, you know, he's so heavy and strong that just by dragging him on the ground, that then it created a trench that then has water in it. Anyone's ever seen this river? No? Yeah, I never knew it was there. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Kamsa had always been disturbed by the thought that the Supreme Lord was to kill him. Therefore, when drinking, eating, moving about, sleeping, or simply breathing, the king had always seen the Lord before him with the disc weapon in his hand. Thus, Kamsa achieved the rare boon of attaining a form like the Lord's, because he's so absorbed in the Lord. Therefore, that's all he was thinking of. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, right? Because he's seeing him with the chakra, so he knows he's the Lord. But that doesn't mean the demons don't have to like him, right? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, after his death, Kamsa attained liberation and was promoted to Vaikuntha Loka. From this instant, we can understand that even a person who thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enemy gets liberation or a place in a Vaikuntha planet. So what to speak of the pure devotees who are always absorbed in favorable thoughts of Krishna? Even an enemy killed by Krishna gets liberation and is placed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all good, anyone thinking of him, either as an enemy or as a friend, gets liberation. But the liberation of the devotee and the liberation of the enemy are not the same. The enemy generally gets the liberation of Sayuja, and sometimes he gets Swarupi liberation. But Krishna killed Kamsa, his maternal uncle, which is against the regulations of the Vedic injunctions. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunctions, he violates the Vedic injunctions only in inevitable cases. Kamsa could not be killed by anyone but Krishna, therefore Krishna was obliged to kill him, right? Because no one else could do it. By his action, he deserved to be killed, right? Just that he sent in the wrestlers and all this and how the wrestlers were behaving, that he was willing to kill all his you know, friends and relatives, all these different things, then he would deserve to be, but no one else could kill him, even the demigods, so Krishna was obliged to kill him, right? Does that make sense? So it mentions that if justice is not correct, that anybody can be chastised, right? Except the Brahmin, okay? They can, you know, if it's that, they can leave or whatever it is. Things are explained appropriately. But he's not a Brahmin. So therefore, he can be chastised by like that. And in this case, you know, from the personal relationship, then, you know, it shouldn't be there, but no one else could do it. And so therefore, according to the Kshatriya law, then someone had to do it, so Krishna did it. Srila Jiva goes.
Yes. When they are placed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, then they are placed with the, I mean, like, the Karana Sharira or the Linga Sharira? Like,
what does it matter?
Because with the Karana Sharira, at least they have some hope of going.
They have some
hope of being of going back to Godhead by being progressive.
But the Karana Sharira is I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's all it is. Means we've already discussed, you know, that the living entities in Mahakalapura are merged in Brahman. You know, so it's not that it's a, they have their own little spot. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, this is like the trapped insect which becomes a wasp. Such a form was rarely attained. Right? Because it seems that the wasps, you know, especially these more certain ones, like the ones that deal with mud, they lay their eggs and they make a mud place. So then they go out and find a bug, some kind of insect or caterpillar or some kind of bug that they fancy. And then they get it, they sting it, and then they stick it inside the nest, you know, and seal them up inside. And so then when those ones, because at the time it means they were killed by the wasp, so they're thinking of the wasp, then their next life they attain a wasp body. Like that, because they're so absorbed in the wasp. Like that. So in the same way, then, because they're so absorbed in Krishna, then they attain to that position. They attain to Brahman, or they attain Vaikuntha. Previously, when he was Kalanemi, he was killed by Ajita, but did not attain liberation. How did he now attain liberation, though he was so sinful? Krishna was the supreme form of the Lord, Ishvaram, manifesting all his unlimited powers. So that's why you see is the supremacy of the position of Krishna. Because then absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna with his unlimited prowess, then therefore. So we can say is, okay, he broke the rule there, but no one else could do it. But at the same time is also, by his unlimited prowess, then he attains to the spiritual world. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Kamsa's eight younger brothers, led by Kanka and Nyagrodhaka, then attacked the lords in rage, seeking to avenge their brother's death.
Mm-hmm. So I understand Kamsa was born from Danu, and these eight guys also.
Who died?
No, but these eight guys, his brothers, showing the same attitude.
Association. We all grew up together.
Poor person. Poor person.
Yes. That's why I said that a fire in one tree can destroy a whole forest. The same time as if you have one sandalwood tree in a forest, then the whole forest smells nice. Like that. So that's like you see, Duryodhana is that one tree that burns the whole dynasty. And Yudhishthira Mars is that one fragrant tree. As they ran swiftly towards the two lords, ready to strike, the son of Rohini slew them with his club, just as a lion easily kills other animals. Kettle drums resounded in the sky as Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods, the Lord's expansions, rained down flowers upon him with pleasure. They chanted his praises and their wives danced. Right, so he didn't seem to be messed around, or in any case, it wasn't much. They all came and this and that, and they just killed them on the spot. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Kamsa had eight brothers, headed by Kanka, all of them younger than he. And when they learned that their elder brother had been killed, they combined together and rushed towards Krishna in great anger to kill him. Kamsa and his brothers were all Krishna's maternal uncles, brothers of Krishna's mother, Devaki. When Krishna killed Kamsa, he killed his maternal uncle, which is against the regulations of Vedic injunctions. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunctions, he violates the Vedic injunctions only in inevitable cases. Kamsa could not be killed by anyone but Krishna, therefore Krishna was obliged to kill him. But as far as Kamsa's eight brothers were concerned, Balaram took charge of killing them. Balaram's mother, Rohini, although the wife of Vasudeva, was not the sister of Kamsa. Therefore, Balaram took charge of killing all of Kamsa's eight brothers. Right? Because that way, then, it wouldn't be... Does that make sense? So then, it wasn't that Krishna then killed all his uncles. No, Balaram took care of the others. He immediately took up an available weapon, most probably the elephant's tusk, which he carried, and killed the eight brothers one after another, just as a lion kills a flock of deer. Krishna and Balaram thus verified the statement that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to give protection to the pious and to kill the impious demons, who are always enemies of the demigods. Verses 43-51. The wives of Kamsa grieve. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, the wives of Kamsa and his brothers, aggrieved by the death of their well-wishing husbands, came forward with tearful eyes, beating their heads, embracing their husbands who lay on a hero's final bed. The sorrowful women loudly lamented while shedding constant tears. Right? So hero's final bed means, you know, they died in combat. Right? The women cried out, Alas, O master! O dear one, O knower of religious principles, O kind and compassionate protector of the shelterless, by your being slain, we have also been slain. together with your household and offspring. O great hero among men, bereft of you, its master, the city has lost its beauty, just as we have, and all festivity and good fortune within it have come to an end. O dear one, you must have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence you committed against innocent creatures. Right? It means they know how to rule a kingdom and do that, so in that way they know all the religious rules. But at the same time, the problem is then in so many ways they broke the rules, and so now the wise are saying most likely because of this, that's why it came to this state. O dear one, you have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence you committed against innocent creatures. How can one who harms others attain happiness? Footnote 26. The BBT purport states, having expressed their sentimental grief, the ladies now speak practical wisdom. They are beginning to see things realistically because their minds were purified by the agony of the recent events and by the association of Lord Krishna. Right? So being in that environment, then they're beginning purified. Lord Krishna causes the appearance and disappearance of all beings in this world, and he is their maintainer as well. One who disrespects him can never prosper happily. Right? So they're pointing out Lord Krishna is the one who takes care, and if you disrespect him, then he's the maintainer, so how will he maintain you if you disrespect him? So therefore, the maintenance of the lives has been come to an end. One who disrespects him can never prosper happily. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, after consoling the royal ladies, Lord Krishna, sustainer of all the worlds, arranged for the prescribed funeral rites to be performed. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, he consoled the women since he was the maintainer of all people, Loka Bhavanaha, with natural compassion. Vishnu Purana says, the Lord, experiencing great unhappiness and then afflicted with suffering, comforted the women personally with tears in his eyes. Right, because he's seeing their difficulty, because they see the position and everything. It means that these guys are killed, and that's supposed to happen. But then you move on with that. It's not that everyone feels bad. Oh, what are you feeling bad about? It's a good thing. No, he moves with that mood that they're dealing with him as. That's the whole thing. That's the personal thing. That's the human aspect. Harivamsa says, hearing the excessive, miserable lamentation of Kamsa's wives, he criticized himself in the assembly of Yadus. Oh, I have widows of Kamsa's thousand wives because.
Widowed.
Yeah, widowed. Or I have made widows of Kamsa's thousand wives because of my foolishness, influenced by human anger. Krishna arranged for the funeral rites for the dead. Sa Nito Yamuna Tiram Uttaram. Rites were performed on the north bank of the Yamuna. Harivamsa. He made the arrangements in order to stop the lamentation of the women and to maintain the purity of the holy places. Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Because the death is there, then one has to have the funeral rite. Then the place is purified. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then Krishna and Balaram released their mother and father from bondage and offered obeisances to them. Touching their feet with their heads, Devaki and Vasudeva, now knowing Krishna and Balaram to be the lords of the universe, simply stood with joined palms. Being apprehensive, they did not embrace their sons. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. After finishing this business, Krishna and Balaram immediately released their father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, who had been imprisoned by Kamsa. Krishna and Balaram fell at their parents' feet and offered them prayers. Vasudeva and Devaki had suffered so much trouble from Kamsa because Krishna was their son. Devaki and Vasudeva were fully conscious of Krishna's exalted position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Krishna touched their feet and offered them obeisances and prayer, they did not embrace him but simply stood up to hear the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Krishna was born as a son, Vasudeva and Devaki were always conscious of his position. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes to verse 51 in Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 94. A comparison of the bhavas and the associates should be considered. They all depend on the Lord. Conceptions of Bhagavan are of two general types. The form with the highest powers, Parama Aishvarya, and the form with the highest sweetness, Parama Madhurya. Aishvarya means power. Madhurya means attractiveness and qualities related to his character. Qualities, form, age, and pastimes. Parama means nothing is higher than this. The four types of parikara devotees, bhakti, matari, vatsalya, and madhurya, or maitari, are of these two types. Those having a predominance of experiencing paramaishvarya and those having predominance experience parama madhurya. Pure aishvarya produces awareness of the Lord with fear, reverence, and seriousness. Pure madhurya produces priti. Thus, all realizations are established by this, right? Because that's what the jnana shakti brings about. Because we may say, oh, but it's only the mood, you know, but that makes for the whole thing. So depending upon the mood, then the performance of the activities then are having to get a particular kind of result for Krishna, particular flavor, right? So in fulfilling Krishna's desire, an activity is performed, but it's performed with a particular mood of either sweetness or
Aishwarya,
right? So that's the basis of their relationship. Thus, all realizations are established by this. The highest levels of Aishwarya and Madhurya reside in Krishna. By these qualities, the highest degrees of fear, etc., and Preeti, respectively, appear. Okay, so depending upon the flavor and the mood, then this appears or that appears, depending on the devotees and that. And as we see as Mathura Vashis, they can appreciate both. But it means that the sweetness won't get to that extreme, and the Aishwarya won't get to that point where it creates such awe and reverence that they can only deal with him as in Vaikuntha. Right? But it will have that greater sweetness. The manifestation is greater. Conclusion. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunctions, he violates the Vedic injunctions only in inevitable cases. Kamsa could not be killed by anyone but Krishna. Therefore, Krishna was obliged to kill him. But as far as Krishna's eight brothers were concerned, Balaram took charge of killing them. Krishna and Balaram thus verified the statement that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to give protection to the pious and to kill the impious demons who are always enemies of the demigods. So, depending upon these various moods by how people approach him, then Krishna and Balaram take those particular flavors. And so in this case, then the demons and all that to protect the pious, like that, who had their particular relationship, that variety of relationships with them. And then you had the demons who had their variety of relationships. Then he dealt with them accordingly. But in dealing with them, then the demons go and the pious stay. Yes? No? Any good? Ah. One of your favorite pages. I think this is the best one yet. Okay. Then, part 9, Mathura Pastimes, chapter 45 to 50. To 45, Krishna rescues his teacher's son. 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan. 47, the song of the bee. 48, Krishna pleases his devotees. 49, Akura's mission in Hastinapur. And 50, Krishna establishes the city of Dwarka. Chapter 45, Krishna rescues his teacher's son, Pratigya. One is not considered a perfectly cultured man without being initiated and trained by an acharya. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna consoled Devaki, Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj, and installed Ugrasena as king. It also relates how Krishna and Balaram completed their education, retrieved the dead son of their guru, and then returned home. Noting that his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, had realized his true position as God, Sri Krishna expanded his yoga maya to again make them think of him as their dear child. Then, with Lord Balaram, Krishna approached them and said how unhappy he was that he and they had been unable to enjoy the mutual satisfaction of parents and children who lived together. Then he stated, even in a lifetime of 100 years, no son can ever repay the debt he owes his parents, from whom he receives his very body. Any capable son who fails to support his parents will be forced in the hereafter to eat his own flesh. Indeed, any person who does not maintain and nourish those under his care, children, wife, spiritual masters, brahmanas, elderly parents, and so on, is simply a living corpse. It was out of fear of Kamsa that he could not serve you. Oh, we could not serve you. So now please forgive us. Right? Because he then put that yoga maya. Because otherwise, how could he have this discussion? Right? Because then he's God. What are you talking about? You know? Vasudeva and Devaki, overwhelmed with emotion upon hearing these words of Sri Krishna's, embraced their two sons and in ecstasy shed a torrent of tears. Having thus satisfied his father and mother, Lord Krishna offered Kamsa's kingdom to his maternal grandfather, Ugrasena, and then arranged for all his family members who had fled in fear of Kamsa to return to their homes. Protected by the mighty arms of Krishna and Balaram, the Yadavas began to enjoy supreme bliss. Krishna and Balaram next approached Nanda Maharaj and praised him for having cared so lovingly for them. Another's sons. Krishna then said to Nanda, "Dear father, please return to Braja, knowing how much you and our other relatives are suffering in separation from us. Balaram and I will come to see you as soon as we have satisfied your friends here in Mathura." Krishna then worshipped Nanda with various offerings, and Nanda felt overwhelmed with love for his sons. After tearfully embracing Krishna and Balaram, he took the coward men and departed for Braja. Next, Vasudeva had his priests perform his son's ritual of second birth, brahminical initiation. Krishna and Balaram then went, because that's why in Vrindavan he couldn't get married, because he hadn't done this. Because there was no plan to do this in Vrindavan. Everything was already going fine. But now he's come here, so that's one of the first things they do. Then they perform the ritual for this. Now after this, then he could get married. Krishna and Balaram then went to Gargamuni to take the vow of brahmacharya, celibacy. Afterwards, Krishna and Balaram, though omniscient, decided to reside at the school of a spiritual master, and thus they went to live with Sandipani Muni at Avantipur. Right, so even though they know everything, they still went and studied under a teacher. That's just the process. Right? To teach the proper way to respect one's guru, Krishna and Balaram served their spiritual master with great devotion, as they would a deity of the Supreme Lord himself. Sandipani Muni, pleased by their service, imparted to them detailed knowledge of all the Vedas, along with the six corollaries and the Upanishads. Krishna Balaram needed to hear each subject explained only once to assimilate it completely, and thus in 64 days they learned the 64 traditional arts. Before taking leave of their guru, the two lords offered Sandipani Muni any gift he desired. The wise Sandipani, seeing their amazing prowess, requested that they bring back his son, who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. Krishna and Balaram mounted a chariot and went to Prabhas, where they approached the shore and worshipped the presiding deity of the ocean. Krishna asked the ocean to return his spiritual master's son, and the lord of the ocean replied that a demon dwelling within the ocean named Panchajana had taken the boy away. Hearing this, Sri Krishna entered the ocean, killed that demon, and took the shell that had grown from his body. But when Krishna did not find his guru's son within the demon's belly, he went to the planet of Yamaraj, the lord of death. Yamaraj came forward when he heard Krishna blow the Panchajanya conch shell and devotedly worshipped him. Lord Krishna then asked Yamaraj for Sandipani Muni's son, and Yamaraj immediately gave him to the two lords. Krishna and Balaram then returned to their spiritual master and presented him with his son, requesting him to choose yet another favor. But Sandipani Muni replied that by having obtained disciples such as them, all his desires were fulfilled. He thus instructed them to return home. Krishna and Balaram traveled to their home by chariot, and upon their arrival, all the citizens became unlimitedly ecstatic to see them, just like persons who have regained a lost treasure. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1 to 11. Krishna consoles Devaki and Vasudeva. Verses 12 to 19, Krishna installed Ugrasena as king of the Yadus. 20 to 25, Krishna consoles Nanda Maharaj. 26 to 31, the lords undergo Upanayanam and study at the Gurukula. 32 to 50, the lords recover their guru's dead son. Verses 1 to 11. Krishna consoles Devaki and Vasudeva. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his transcendental opulences, the Supreme Personality of Godhead thought that this should not be allowed to happen. Thus he expanded his yoga maya, which bewilders his devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, as in the material world, the relationship existing between father and mother and children can be established amongst different living beings by the influence of the illusory energy. So by the influence of yoga maya, the devotee can establish a relationship in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is his child. Now, because otherwise he is God and we are his energy. But by the influence of yoga maya, then one can have all these variety of relationships with him. The BBT purport states, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word jana may be translated here as devotees, as in the verse diyamanam na grinati vina mat sevanam janaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. Thus it refers to that maya whose nature is to bewilder the devotees. He further explains that jana may also be translated as parents, since jana is derived from the verb jan, which in the causative form, janayate, means to generate or to give birth to. In this sense of the word, as in janani or janakau, the term jana mohini indicates that which bewilders his mother and father, janaka and janani mohinim. Sridhar Swami says in this regard, though I am pleased is giving them such knowledge of me, such a rare thing. What is rare to give is love of me as a son, right? So, though I am pleased means with them being, you know, seeing him in his position and all that, that then is giving them such knowledge of me, such a rare thing, right? Having that knowledge that he's the supreme and all that is not such a rare thing, seeing that half of the spiritual world then sees like that. Mm-hmm. So that's not the main thing. So he's saying that mood that they are see him as their son, now that's a more rare, that's a more special thing. In this way his intention is explained. Thus Krishna's words in the next verses should not be considered deceptive, because by that he is invoking their parental love. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna, the greatest of the Satvatas, approached his parents with his elder brother, humbly bowing his head and gratifying them by respectfully addressing them as my dear mother and my dear father. Krishna spoke as follows, dear father, because of us, your two sons, you and mother, Devaki, always remained in anxiety and could never enjoy our childhood, boyhood, or youth. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna indirectly praised the fatherhood of Nanda Maharaj and motherhood of Yashoda as most glorious, because although he and Balaram were not their born sons, Nanda and Yashoda actually enjoyed their childhood pastimes. By nature's own arrangement, the childhood of the embodied living being is enjoyed by the parents. Even in the animal kingdom, parents are found to be affectionate to their cubs. Being captivated by the activities of their offspring. They take care of their well-being. As for Vasudeva and Devaki, they were always anxious for the protection of the sons, Krishna and Balaram. That is why Krishna, after his appearance, was immediately transferred to another's house. Balaram was also transferred from Devaki's room to Rohini's room.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura.